Margie Oppenheimer, Reel 3.
Yes, so you didn't really know what had happened to your mother until 1945.
And I met my brother. Yes.
And that has been... Were you able to get confirmation of her death?
Mm-hmm. Only the only thing... When you see the clothes coming in, you know. You knew. That was it.
So you were off to Stutthof now, is that right?
Yes.
Had you heard anything about it, Margie?
I had no idea. And you know, when we arrived in that big boat, we were loaded into very tiny little boats. And when I got into these little tiny boats, I thought these were boats that were going to sink them into the water and they kill us. That's what they impressed. This is what they... That's the impression I had when I got into this boat. But we were not caught. We arrived in Stutthof and we walked through a wooded area not too long, maybe 4 miles about. And then we came into an area where there were barrels with beautiful the curtains on the windows and flowers and little flower gardens around it. This cannot be for us. And we walked just through there, and another couple of miles further were our camps, well, far, far cry from curtains and flowers and stuff. And we were put into these barracks. And again, like I said earlier, I never was able to find a bunk for myself because I was always in the back. I always, you know, I'm not pushy. I let everybody go. And I slept on the floor, which was fine with me. But meanwhile, I had gotten some friends that I tried to stay together with from that rubber factory. And in Stutthof, I also met the one girl from our town, the one we lived in Riga with in the same house. She was there. And in Stutthof, I got my first blouse. I was washing something out, and there was something swimming, and I said, what is there? There was a louse. Well, then we had selection. That is the hardest. We had roll call, and we had to undress star naked and march around in the outside, in the, like, let's say, a backyard-like, and surrounded by guards. And we had to march around. But to me, that was the worst. That was the most humiliating thing, and I will never forget it, and I get never over it. And they would make remarks. Let's say there was an older lady with the skin flapping, you know, been losing so much weight. Or you had to bend down, and they said, look at her hemorrhoids, or look at her veins. Unbelievable. And I was selected for the left side, not being able to walk. And I knew that meant trouble. So for one, I went with all these 500 women who looked all older than I and all skeletons, and my friends were on the other side. So there was a fence with electricity, what you call it.
The electrified, yes, what you said really, yes.
And being as skinny as I was, we put a, like a hole underneath and they pulled me through. I was safe that way. And again, I slept on the floor, but I was with them. And the next morning, roll call. And they count you, and there was one person too many on this side. And who is this person? And they would not let you go until this person comes forward. Well, short and tiny as I was hiding behind a big person and wouldn't say a word. I didn't say anything. And after hours of this roll call, they just took somebody else. and send him over to the other side. And from that day on, I am possessed with guilt feeling because I feel I sent somebody to his death because I wanted to live. And I can't shake it. It haunts me every day of my life that I did this. And I have prayed and prayed and prayed, but it comes always back into my thoughts. I did this. I saved my life because of somebody else. So I was again with my friends, and shortly after that we went to a labor camp. Thank the Lord. We went to a labor camp.
Yes, before you do, you know, this Stutthof camp.
Labor concentration camp.
Yes. Yes. Were the conditions, you know, what?
Bad. Bad. The one night that I was sitting on the floor, the elders from the barracks just slapped me around because I was sitting on the floor. I mean, there was no reason for it. They just, like they felt, whatever they felt like, that's what they did to me. I got lots of you know, I got hit with a rifle butt, I got kicked. Oh, I forgot to tell you this. Then we got our striped clothes that was still in the rubber factory. And that was the first time we had to undress naked in front of everybody. And I was just, the way I was born, the way I was raised, it was shame. It was, you don't undress for anybody.
Yes, were other people, you know, could you tell other people felt as you did? Was it very degrading?
I don't know. I'm sure there were people that felt that way. The first time in the rubber factory was when we got our striped clothes, we had to undress, and I wasn't doing that, and there was this SS, and his name was Hirsch, and he looked very Jewish. Not only did he have a Jewish name, he looked very Jewish. He ripped the pants off me and he kicked me with his boot, with the big nails on there that I had blood coming from my buttocks. And I mean, things like that you do not forget, and you don't realize the things that they can happen. So then we got our clothes, we got a sweater, we got a dress, and we got a pair of underpants. And some wooden shoes. No socks. And, but that was then. But here in the Stutthof, that was the worst. I mean, so then when we were, I was already being shipped out from Stutthof, going to a labor camp. And I was with my friends together again. And we come to this camp, and there are these little match houses, that's what I call them, little huts. They look like match houses, like plywood. And we got into these little houses, and there was a partition, like from here to here. There was like a little elevation with a board across where you could sit, and behind there was straw, and that's where we slept. I think we were 12 or 15 women in one of these huts. And we were like the herons in it. When one moved, we all had to move. And this was still August, so it was still kind of warm. It was not bad, but when winter came, it got really bad. No facilities to wash yourself. No facilities to do anything. The outhouse was a disgrace. It was an open pit with three stumps and four or six corners and another three across, you know, this cemetery. And that's where you had to sit and do your business. You know, like the birds are sitting on the electric line. It is a disgrace. So, but the conditions were sort of fair. We had to do hard labor. The first few days we were just moving bricks from one place to the next. And we had very nice guards. And there was one guard who would always point to me like this, not that anybody could see it. And he had hidden a sandwich there for me. Very nice man. And I wrapped it in cement paper and took it. We had these guards 2 weeks. Evidently, they did not only do it to me, they did it to other people too. Bring them sandwiches or bring them maybe even a cigarette if somebody wanted it. But it was reported that they were doing this to us. And they were taken away and we got a bunch of new ones, really bad ones. And these guys were sent to the front, to the army front. They were not SS men, they were soldiers, army soldiers. Anyway, but then we started doing, dig our trees. First we had to saw them, the cotton here in the floor, and the woods. The woods were the worst. The timber wasn't a bad thing. The woods took us like days and days and days before we could get them out of the ground. And this was not one person on one wood. There were several women, you know. It was very hard. And the ground became already solid because it got already colder. So it was very hard. And when we did that, we did build a street. And believe it or not, I was doing first business. It's the, what do you call it, a sledgehammer? The one that breaks up the cement? I was using that, but it wasn't electric. We had to use it and our own strength. And then after that, I used the roller to smooth everything out. I had always the hard jobs, but I did it because I wanted to live. And some of my people would call me, "You're helping Hitler win the war." I said, "No, I'm trying to save my skin. I'm trying to save my life." But there was always people that would say I would help Hitler win the war.
At the time, did people say that at the time to you?
Yes. Our own people, Jewish people. Jewish people said that. But I was only, as long as I can work, I knew I can be safe. When I cannot work anymore, I won't be safe. And this one day, not too far away, there were men working, and I saw this man, he was standing on his shovel, you know, like he was tired, and the guard screams at him. I could hear, that's how loud he screamed, "Can't you work or don't you want work?" He says, "I can't." So he took this man and dunked him in the cement, mixed his head first. That was the end of this guy. I mean, these are things they did to us. And if I tell somebody that, they wouldn't believe it. But I saw it and I heard it with my own eyes and ears. So when we were finished with the streets, we started building houses. I became a bricklayer. And there I had a Polish foreman, not Jewish, Polish. And he must have had an eye on me too for some reason or another. And he would always bring me medicine. And I took it too. I wasn't scared. Somehow I trusted this man. And he said, "I want to save you. I want to bring it to my mother." I said, "No, I wouldn't do that." I was scared. But I did take the medicine, and the medicine helped me too. And he would say, "The Russians are coming. The Russians are coming. It's not very long anymore. It will be soon. Won't be long." And then he said, "I'm going to show you how to build this wall, and by tomorrow morning it'll be all crumbled down. But it won't look like sabotage, because they won't know." And he did that, and sure enough, the next morning, the wall was down. And he had a grin on his face. He was happy that that happened. But we built the house, and then came the chimney. And I didn't build the chimney, but I had to bring the cement up the ladder to the chimney. It wasn't very light. The cement was pretty heavy. And these were all works that I did in my life.
And you're a tiny little lady. What would you be? Yes.
How? I was 56 pounds when I was liberated.
And what? You're a small height, aren't you? You're dainty.
Yes.
Yes. What would you be about?
5'11". But I'm 11. 82 inches now. I'm 4'9". Doctor told me I have osteoporosis. I said, yes, sure. I shrunk 2 inches into it. He wants to sell me hormones, and I won't take any hormones. So, believe it or believe it not, whatever. I thank God I'm doing pretty good the way I am. So. Okay, we build a shimmy, I bring up the cement, and we just finished the shimmy, and we were first the eighth, no. It was in January, I think. We were shipped out from this camp because the Russians were coming closer. Oh, the guy, it was very early. We were on a death march. We marched from this labor camp.
Yes. Could I ask you where it was?
The name of it was Sophienwalde.
Sophien?
Sophien, like S-O...
P-H...
I-E-N...
Yes.
W-A-L-D-E. And it was in Pommern. Pommern is... not far from, right now I think it is Polish.
Yeah.
But it was, at that time, it was still Germany.
Thank you.
We were put on a death march for days and days and days and days and nights. We slept in barns. And made it. We came to this other camp. And again, I slept on the floor. Again, I offered my services. There was a there are sick people gone, like a little building, an infirmary.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Infirmary. That's where I offered my services again, and I worked with typhoid people. Most of them had typhoid fever, or typhoid at that time. I had typhoid twice, and after liberation, I had typhoid fever. Anyway, I helped there, and I was happy I was doing something. I was helping people. To me, that's the most important thing, helping people. And otherwise, there was nothing to do. There was no more work. There was no more labor. It just sat around doing nothing, which is terrible.
Do you know the name of that camp?
Gotendorf.
Gotendorf.
It's also in Poland.
So this would have been fairly near the end of the war, would it?
Yes.
You were saying you had typhoid. Yes.
I was still when I was in the Gustava factory.
Yes. What is it like having typhoid?
A lot of diarrhea and stomach pain and vomiting, but not so much vomiting, mostly diarrhea. But then later on I tell you about the typhoid fever. I worked with the sick people. And on the 8th of March, the camp eldest came and told me I should polish his boots, and I should polish them very clean. I said, do I get anything for it? I was saying that in a joke, but I hoped. Yes, I give you a whole loaf of bread, but they have to be spotless and shining. He said, I'll do it. Then the next sentence was, anybody who can walk has to come, there's roll call at 8 o'clock tonight. So I went to roll call, and he said, everybody who can possibly walk will walk with me. We are going on a march. We did not march on the streets, we marched through the fields. He comes to a farmhouse in the middle of the night. He wakes up the farmer and says, I have 500 starving women here, I want you to feed them. Father Thomas folks left the door in his trace. And he said sorry. So we went on our march all night long. When it became dawn, it seemed there were very few guards. There were not too many people marching anymore, and I don't know if they stayed behind, were they killed, what happened to them. I didn't know at the time. I mean, they could have stayed behind, they could have just laid down and died, you know, being too weak or whatever, or they could have been shot. Also, we didn't hear any shooting. So this person on the bicycle comes and says, where are you? They're waiting for you. There is a big barn and there are lots and lots of people there waiting for you to come. They're collecting us all there. Please hurry up. So we come finally arrived at that barn, and indeed there were thousands of people, I would say, and animals. There were cows and there were horses in the same barn there too. And I had taken a water bottle from the infirmary. I went to the pump to get some water, and I got hit with a rifle over the head and says, you don't need any more water, get back in that barn. And so I went back in the barn, and I sat there between the horses, and all of a sudden we hear shots, shooting, and screaming, and yelling, and I thought, this is it. This is, we are going to be killed. We are all going to be killed. And at that time, I was still brave. I got up and I looked through a crack in the barn, and I see other soldiers, Russian uniform, you know, not German soldiers. And the shooting that we heard was Russian shooting the SS. So on the Shabbat day, at noon, we were liberated. March 10th, 1945. And then I broke down. Then I cried, and I was sitting there cuddling my water bottle. What am I going to do now? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? Who's going to help me? And everybody was running out already, looking for food and looking for this and looking for that. And I was sitting in a barn. Then my friends came, and they were screaming at me, cut it out, come on, let's look for food. I said, I don't want anything, I just want to sit here. And they were just forcing me. So I went with them. Then we met a Russian, and he gave us something to drink from a gasoline canister. What was it? Not gasoline, red wine. Of course, I didn't drink any because I knew that would have made me sick. I got water in the meantime. And we marched from the farm where we could rest for the night. And I was together with my friends, but I was so unhappy and so distressed and just didn't know what to do. So we slept okay, and we were also lucky we were not raped. The Russians were falling over this woman like, I don't know. The women were raped left and right, right and left. They didn't care if they had children, they didn't care if they had old people, they didn't care if they had sick people, just raped anybody. We were safe, thank God.
Did they rape women from labor camps and concentration camps?
Only. There were no other people, there were only us. Because all the Germans had, how do you say that in English? They left.
Yeah, yes. They disappeared, had they? Yes.
Yeah, they left because of the war zones, you know.
Yeah.
I can't think of the English word, it doesn't matter. Escaping is maybe a word, but it's not the right word.
They were expelled.
No, not expelled. They went on their own.
Oh, they escaped.
Escaped.
I see, into another, yes.
Yeah, but further west.
Yes, but the Russians had liberated you, and then they were raping the...
I understand that American soldiers did the same thing. I don't know if that's true, but maybe not to that extent. But the Russians, I found out later that if there's a Russian soldier, from the day he is put into the war, she stays until the war is over. There is no furlough, there is no... They cannot go home, nothing. They have to stay, either being killed or stay until the war is over. So that is really drastic, too, for them.
Did you know this was going on at the time?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, the next day we met a lot of women who told us, a lot of people who had been raped. But at the time, I didn't even understand what it meant to be raped. I didn't know what it meant. Like I said, this girl told me about the birth and abuse, but she didn't mention the word rape. So, anyway, the next day, this one girl of my friend, I remember she couldn't walk anymore, and I saw that there was something wrong with her legs. Anyway, I found a baby buggy, and I took the baby buggy, and I put her in there, and I pushed her. Her feet were hanging out. I found this girl about 2 years ago in Israel. We found each other. And she told me there was nothing wrong with her feet. She had typhoid fever. She had typhoid. So anyway, I pushed her all the way to the next big city. That's what we had intended to do. And we passed the camp that we had marched from. We did not go into it. Also, there were people left behind. I don't know what happened to them. And we kept marching. It took us a few days to get there. And we found all the houses were empty.
What city was that?
That was called Lauenburg. Lauenburg. And it's all in that vicinity, all in Pommern. It's a bigger city. And people all had escaped from there. The houses were empty. Lots of houses were burning. And the houses that were not burning, we tried to find refuge. And we found this place. There were already a couple of Jewish people there. One had died already. But we still went in there, and we were, I don't know, maybe 10 people together in this one place. And the Russians came to rape. But again, we had found meanwhile a Russian Jew, and he said, I protect you. But we put something in front of the door that nobody can come in. But then one night a Russian came anyway, and we told them in our broken Russian that we had typhoid. They didn't care. That time I was raped too. It was the first. But it was, thank God, only the one time. And we all had to go and look for food, and this was something I couldn't do. And this one day, we had one, this one of my friends, the older one, she said, if you don't go and bring food, then you got to go on your own. You're finished with us. She was really strict. I mean, it is only fair. Everybody went looking for food, and I just couldn't do it. I went out, and I went into an empty building, and I heard a noise, and I was scared, and there's a Russian. And he says, like this, I shouldn't be scared. And he rolls up my sleeve and he goes like this and he says, you sick, you go doctor, in his Russian and half German. So again, I didn't bring home any food, and like she said, if you don't bring any food, you gotta go. So I left and I went to the hospital. I was on my way to the hospital, a Russian hospital, and I was looking for work there. They examined me, I had a high fever, and I had typhoid fever. I was admitted, I started hallucinating, and I said all kinds of stupid things, and you know, during all this time we didn't have our period, and everybody was concerned about that, and this one day I said, I got my period, I need something, look at everything is red. I was laying on a red blanket. But they gave me a little bucket, and I was sitting on a bucket the whole day long. Nothing came out. I didn't have my period. I was laying on a red blanket, and I thought I had my period. Anyway, I was there for a few days, and then they took me out, and I was sent to the infirmary.